Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Britain feels broken, but how do we fix it?
Westminster just doesn't seem to have the answers, but we have found some people who do.
Join me, journalist Becca Hudson.
And me, the former MP Ed Vasey, for How I'd Fix.
From the price of a pint to the housing crisis, this is the show where we take an alternative look at the problems plaguing the nation.
And hear practical solutions from those in the know. Catch new episodes of How I'd Fix wherever you get your podcasts. Rebuilding Britain starts here.
The home of common sense. This is Talk.
And welcome back to day two of A Morning Glory with me, Mike Graham, here with you all the way through until 10 o'clock in the morning when Julie Hartley-Brewer will be taking over. We've got breakfast for you with knobs on, if you'll pardon the expression, because we've got some big stories to talk about. So this is where you want to be. Morning Glory with Mike Graham. Good morning. So, a very good morning to Benedict Spence. Benedict, nice to see you. You're looking fresh this morning. I know you had a bit of a struggle to get in this morning, but the sun is shining. It's almost summery. We've got bank holiday weekend coming up. And, I mean, if you were a migrant knowing that you were about to be rounded up and chased out of the country, you'd probably go missing, wouldn't you?
I think so. I think this is as good a time as any to go missing. Perhaps take a sunny trip to Ireland, Northern Ireland, and venture over the border.
Venture over the border.
It's a very pleasant place.
Well, all of those things are going. Let's have a quick run through just what's on the front pages of the papers. And that story on the front of the Times, over half of migrants set for Rwanda are missing. But their main story is about the SNP. SNP lurches into another crisis as its leader quits. It's quite remarkable, isn't it, how Humza Yousaf has somehow completely kiboshed independence single-handedly.
Yeah. I mean, and we all owe him a drink, I think. Yes. Not that he'd be appreciative of it, but we absolutely do owe him a huge debt of gratitude, because whoever ends up replacing him, even if it is Kate Forbes, who everybody knows about because she stood against him last time, that's the only reason people know about her, isn't going to be that sort of big beast. And you have to say, you know, Humza Yousaf did have a profile before he became leader, but it's a shambles. It's not unforeseen. A lot of people were saying at the time, given the nature of the coalition sort of agreement in Scotland, that he would be lucky to last a year. Well, he's lasted 13 months.
Yes.
So congratulations, Humza. Yes. It's worked out quite well for you.
Yeah, I mean, the question on everybody's lips yesterday was he a worse leader than Liz Truss? And apparently, because he lasted at least a year, everybody sort of said, well, I think probably Liz Truss just about edges him. But, I mean, I wonder whether SNP and independence has now been off. It will be off the agenda for a generation. There's a lot of people writing that this morning.
I mean, one thing we have to say is, of course, he's the first SNP First Minister who has not come under police investigation, as far as we're aware. So in many ways, this has been a success.
Yes,
cleaning up the image of the SNP. It's just the governing part that they've not done very well. They're sort of polling pretty equally with Labour, which some people might say actually Labour should be doing better at this moment, given everything that's going on. So perhaps there's something there. But yeah, it's been a disastrous tenure, and you sort of look at all the stats about things like poverty, child poverty, drug addiction, the inability to get ferries to and from the islands, which obviously is kind of a key part of devolution. Yeah. It's not been brilliant. And you do just think, you know, to be sort of launched into a leadership campaign just as we're about to hit general election season, you think, they couldn't have played this much better, could they?
Really
impressive.
I mean, Starmer will benefit, of course. If they can get 18 or 20 seats out of Scotland, that would be a big boost for him. Front page of the Telegraph, they go with sex is a biological fact, NHS declared. Now, this story was knocking around a little bit yesterday. This is the new constitution that gets apparently sort of updated every so often. This is a step in the right direction, but people are concerned that it's going to take a while for it to go through all the various kind of stages of consultation.
It's a step in the right direction, but honestly, the fact that we have to have it written into a constitution, the up is down, and the nonsense that we've had over the last couple of years, where you've had, you know, everybody sort of assumes that a medic is a rational person, that they've gone through a very rigorous training process, and that they're able to be, they're able to make decisions based on evidence. And clearly that isn't enough if it has to be written into the NHS constitution that a woman is in fact a woman, and this is what defines it. So I find that deeply concerning, and you're also right to be concerned that it could take a bit of time, because of course, you know, this is bureaucracy, this is the NHS, everything sort of thinks in centuries.
It's like a tanker, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not actually the the body that you want to be making these sort of snap decisions, unless there's a pandemic, at which point it shuts everything else down in order to do it.
And that's kind of an important part of it as well, because I'd like to think they might write that into it. If you're going to write everything down, let's write into a constitution that actually if there is another pandemic of some kind, you don't just shut everything down and stop helping people. You know, it says here the updates to the constitution will also include the introduction of a duty to help patients get back to work and also embed Martha's rule into the framework, which means families have the right to access a rapid review and can actually seek a second opinion. Because you're right, you know, you'd think that doctors were generally speaking correct on all things, but it doesn't always work out like that.
I mean, from my experience of being at university and, you know, living with some, actually it does really, you know, it clears your vision actually to what kind of people doctors are. Doctors and lawyers are not in fact angels or saints. They are the same reprobates as you at some point.
Indeed.
And it's important to remember this when they're making diagnoses and other decisions. But I mean, as you say, the sort of the need to shut down the country during the pandemic and all the rest of it, and you just look at the general outlook for the NHS at the moment, you just think, good Lord, how on earth have we got to this
stage? I think we have to
write down the rules for people to say, no messing about with this. This is what
you have to do, because you don't have to walk very far down the street to meet people who are waiting for a procedure, who've had it cancelled a few times, or who can't find their way to a doctor's appointment and all of that.
I mean, the whole thing about, you know, it being a duty to get people back to their lives, back into work, I think it's a fundamental thing. Because, of course, we've been talking for weeks now, haven't we, about the number of people who are on out-of-work benefits and how that number never seems to go down, only ever up. Because, of course, people are not being helped back off that.
No.
They're just being medicated and told, well, that's you sorted, isn't it? And that's an unacceptable thing for, you know, not everything has to be looked in terms of the economy.
Yeah.
As on an individual basis, how on earth can it be that you go, well, we're really swamped and you sound like a difficult case, so here's some Cetralin, and that's you now. Like,
for 20 years.
Yeah,
for 20 years. Daily Express goes with Hunt, tax cuts are a priority. I'm going to give this the award of funniest headline of the day. I mean, tax cuts are clearly not a priority. So thanks very much indeed, Jeremy.
Honestly, I agree with you. It just makes you smile every time you hear, you know, the Tories going, oh, the tax cuts, they're coming.
Oh,
but now they're
taxes.
Not. Yeah, next time.
We just can't do it.
Trust us, bro.
This horrible story from the courts yesterday, leader of a gang of robbers knifed to death an 87-year-old on a mobility scooter 5 days after being released from jail. He's a career criminal. This is front page of the Daily Mirror. I mean, he's spent most of his life in prison, in and out, this guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not even sure you can even say the parole board got it wrong. He was due to be released, but he's a psychotic killer.
Yeah, they can only work with the rules that are given to them, and a lot of the rules are far too lenient, and a lot of them are very lenient because we don't have the capacity. We don't have the prison capacity to lock up these people indefinitely. You know, you also have to put people up in punch parole boards. We're not a sort of one of those states that does just lock endless people up indefinitely. That's not how we want to go about it. But there are clearly people, and you see this, actually, I think, walking around the streets of London in particular. I apologise to anybody living outside of London, but it might be the same there.
Yeah.
You see the number of people who are walking around with ankle tags and face masks, and you know, you hear the clickety-click of the Lime bike that's been stolen. And I've seen people being robbed in London. I've seen people try to break into houses, I think, four this year. And the thing is, it's maybe it's just the part of London that I live in, but the fact of the matter
is... It's probably not, though.
You know, it's not, actually. The part that I live in is fine,
relatively.
And it's not just the one part. I've seen it in other parts as well. And you do just think, honestly, the fact that it is sort of low-level tolerated is unacceptable. But people don't bother to report it, because the police, if they turn up, it'll be closed within 24 hours for lack of evidence.
Right.
And it's that sort of thing where, you know, this is obviously a very specific example of a, you know, particularly nasty individual.
Yeah.
But if you're allowing the low-level stuff to just go because you don't have the capacity, you don't have the resources to go after it, it makes perfect sense, therefore, that higher up the chain in the prison system, things aren't working the way they're supposed
to. And you don't see police on the streets, do you?
You don't.
I mean, you might see people committing crime, but very rarely we walk around a corner and go, oh, look, there's some police officers. I didn't expect
you
to see that.
You see cars, police cars, rushing up and down the road. And that's about as close as you get to a police officer. They're within 10-20 metres of you for a split second, and then they're off somewhere else more important. You're right, you'd never see them on the beat. The only place you do see them on the beat is at a railway station, where they are tooled up, because you know, they're anti-terrorism police.
Yes.
So that makes you feel really
reassured.
Well,
if they're at London Bridge, they're waiting for Millwall fans to come back from from the game.
Yeah, the important things.
Exactly right. Front page of The Sun, they've got a special. They're calling for the incredible bravery of Grace O'Malley Kumar to be honoured with the George Cross. This is the young student who was murdered in Nottingham in that horrible attack last year. So they're backing calls to give a George Cross. Seems a very worthwhile thing to do, because she died trying to save her best friend, who was, of course, Barnaby. And a terrible, terrible story.
But it is a dreadful story. And the fact that this person was, you know, free and at liberty to commit this crime was, you know, it's just, honestly, it's horrific. But yeah. I think it doesn't cost us anything, actually, to award somebody posthumously. And actually, what we were just talking about there, the lack of sort of civic intervention in France, because nobody wants to get hurt. No. Everybody understands that. But if you are going to sort of rebuild sort of a high trust society, you do need there to be some rewards for people who actually do the right thing. And this is, of course, one of the big things is people fear if they step in, intervene. Mm. This is about a stabbing, but, you know, a robbery or something like that. They'll be the one that gets hurt or maybe prosecuted, or if something happens to that person. So
and the
a real sign of bravery,
of these of these two students who were murdered, both families of them have already had sort of horrendous times learning about all the police WhatsApp messages and some of the things that were said and some of the ways that the investigation was handled. So they've suffered enough, I think. Front page of Daily Mail is interesting. They've got all schools warned on sextortion epidemic. Now, we know about the arguments that people have about whether children should be able to have mobile phones in schools, but this is a new twist. This is the suggestion that foreign gangs are blackmailing hundreds of children over intimate pictures online.
Yeah,
incredible.
It's even more horrific than what people might actually imagine, which is sextortion. Oh, it's children on children. It's people actually sending pictures to each other. Yeah. It's bullying. This isn't, obviously. No. This is organised. And again, it's one of those things where, you know, the proliferation of gang culture in this country and the fact that it is no longer sort of limited to cities. You find it in sort of every nook, every cranny. Right. Again, because policing resources out in the countryside are even lower than they are in the cities. And the fact that you can, you know, effectively groom children in a way by doing this, because that's what this is about. You know, you want, why is it that children are often targeted to carry drugs, to carry weapons, that sort of thing? Well, if you've got something on them, it becomes a lot easier to do so.
Yes.
Which is what I suspect a lot of this is about.
Absolutely.
And it is grotesque, actually, that, you know, above all else, what we should be doing is protecting children in society, but they are very often targeted, and technology is a very good way of targeting children.
It would seem to be. Coming up next with Benedict Spencer and myself, some of the other stories making the papers. Meghan won't join Harry in the UK. Do I hear a cheer going up? Well done. And also, we'll find out what's going on with Britney Spears. Apparently, some people are saying she shouldn't have had the Conservatory taken away, and she might actually need protecting again. We'll be back with more right here on Morning Glory with Mike Graham after this. Good morning and welcome to Morning Glory with me, Mike Graham. Benedict Spencer's here. We're looking through the papers. This is the place to find common sense. It is the place where you need not search for it, because it's where the nation comes to talk. And you can get involved, of course. But I've got a great text that came in earlier this morning. You can text us at 87222. This is from Chris in Newbury. Hamza the useless resigns. The NHS changes its constitution to say men are actually men. The UK tells Ireland to keep their illegals. Minister says net zero is unattainable without ruining business. All on day two, Mike. Shows you what a bit of common sense in the morning does to the UK. Keep it up. Well, I think that's absolutely right. There's obviously not very much common sense in parts of Essex. I don't mean to in any way make out that Essex is worse than the rest of the country, but there's a fantastic story this morning about the bizarre moment a yacht got wedged underneath the railway arches. I think we can see the picture while being carried on a low loader. It's one of those stories, Benedict, where you think, there, but for the grace of God, if you're driving this low loader and you're driving it through what it looks like as an aqueduct and this huge yacht just suddenly gets stuck. there it is. It's just probably one of the most embarrassing things you could ever do if you're delivering somebody's yacht. And apparently, they've still, I think they're still trying to figure out how to move it.
That's going to be a catastrophically expensive yacht even before you take the damages
into
account.
Can you imagine delivering it and then saying, it's got a couple of scrapes on the side. You might want to get them, sort of buff those up before you take it into the water.
But honestly, who are these people transporting yachts? I was under the impression that the country was going to be flooded within the next couple of years
because
the climate crisis will kill us. Surely you just wait a couple of years and then it'll float and you can sail it yourself.
Surely also if you're transporting a yacht, just do it on water.
Absolutely.
Why honestly. Put it on the back of a truck? Anyway, more stories from the front pages. The disability benefit is still a story for the I newspaper. We talked a lot about this. The PIP disability benefit could be cut using a new system with six tiers. Now, we spoke to a lot of people who called us yesterday to talk about how they got either PIP or how they didn't get it, and it's already quite a complicated system, it seems.
It is. This is one of the sad things, I suppose, about when it comes to the benefit system, is that it seems to always be, how are we going to solve it and save money? We're going to make it more complex rather than necessarily make it fairer. And again, it's not helped by the fact that whenever we have conversations about benefits in this country, you know, people sort of are very firmly entrenched in two camps. Either there's too many scroungers and therefore everybody is a scrounger, or absolutely everybody is a saint and nobody could possibly be trying to swindle the system.
Right.
And you think, right, so what's the solution to this? We're going to make it even more complicated. And the reality is, actually, when Ian Duncan Smith was Department of Work and Pensions. Actually, they were able to get benefits down. Right. As far as I'm aware, it wasn't sort of a massive inhumanity to most people. Actually, he was able to do it quite fairly. It can be done. But I also do understand a lot of people's frustrations and fears. The current iteration of the Tory government is not well known for its effectiveness. It is not well known for making any of its promises stick. And with the Labour Party about to come in and probably likely to just undo it all anyway, with a view to handing out more money.
Well, the Labour Party has said that they're going to make mental health one of their top priorities. They're going to actually provide more help for people. They're going to provide more ability for people to get benefits if they're suffering in some way from anxiety. The Tories are saying, if you've got depression, we might take money off you. Yeah. And a lot of people yesterday told us, who are on PIP, that it's quite difficult to get because you get refused immediately the first time you apply, and then you have to keep applying until they finally give you the money. Mm. But they're giving it to 3.5 million people.
Yeah, so it can't be completely impossible.
It can't be that impossible to do.
Very determined 3.5 million
people. Very determined, yeah. Let's talk about Meghan Markle. Apparently, Prince Harry's coming back to Britain. I don't know why he keeps coming back. And I'm exactly like you. Oh, joy. I can't be bothered. I know he's coming back to do the Invictus Games, which everybody goes, but it's a really good, worthwhile cause, which it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not really that interested in seeing him, to be honest.
Honestly, just I feel so bad about the trajectory of his life. He could have, you know, when he said he was going to leave, when he married Meghan, and there was the prospect of him maybe moving to Canada and basically revolving his life around the conservation of big game in Africa and looking after veterans. You were thinking, do you know what? There's a worthwhile life and people are going to love you for it. And he threw it all away.
He did.
Honestly.
In order to run around California and be a celebrity and also be a kind of an ally for various causes, which some of which you may or may not believe.
And now to Hawk Jam, I'm told.
But she's also discovered, they're going to go off, after he's been in London, she's going to meet him in Nigeria, because she's discovered apparently that she's got some kind of Nigerian heritage and they want to have some cultural exchange in Nigeria.
Oh, well, I mean, good luck to them. That's exciting. I mean, maybe there is also a large jam market in Nigeria. Maybe there's sort of ulterior motive to that.
Could be.
But she does just seem to... Why did she come here in the first place if she loathed it so much? Honestly.
Well, I think she wanted to find her prince.
Yeah.
And she did. And now she's got him. And that's his bad luck.
And now she's going to Nigeria? fair enough.
Who can say? Now, the big issue of the day, this will, reverberate around a talk for the entire schedule. It's long been thought that women feel the cold more, shivering with chilly hands and feet, while men somehow always seem to stay warmer. Scientists have now said it's actually not true. Women don't feel the cold more than men. It's all an act. So they're just pretending they're colder.
There is a certain presenter on this channel who I think is possibly going to disagree with this.
Yes.
Perhaps quite vociferously. Maybe you'll get into this conversation.
This is a woman, when she comes in for the exchange at 10 o'clock, normally the first thing she does is, can I turn the heating up?
Yeah.
And I used to say to her when I used to come in at 10 o'clock to do it the other way around, can I turn it down?
Yeah.
Because there's always this argument in the office all the time. Mm. This one's about duvets, though. Why do they like to hog the duvet? They say it's because they're colder. I think maybe it's just because they like hogging the duvet.
I was going to say, I think it's a territorial thing. Mm. I think it's about saying, I've got you now and I've also got your duvet. So.
Absolutely right. Now, just on a serious note, there's been for a couple of days, and I suppose we're suffering slightly from lethargy when it comes to the ceasefire talks in the Middle East.
Yeah.
But David Cameron's been accused of flying around on a private jet like he's a Kardashian. He's got some £41 million private jet he's flying around on. Mm. Anthony Blinken's in the UAE, I think. And they're all urging Hamas to sign the deal.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we're actually going to get to a point where that could happen.
I mean, I will believe it when I see it. I don't think that Hamas are inclined to. You know, several times, actually, we've come close to deals and Hamas have changed the terms at the last minute. And it's very interesting that the emphasis has changed. For a long time, it was the US and the UK putting pressure on Israel. And when it was made clear that that's just not actually going to change the dynamics, the pressure went instead to Egypt and Qatar to put the pressure on Hamas. And it does seem like maybe we're getting somewhere. But you simply can't trust Hamas. That's the long and short.
Well, that's the trouble, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and that's why we're here.
Yes, frankly. And that is why we're here. And they've already turned down several opportunities to have a ceasefire because they don't want to get rid of the hostages. I think they probably know if they get rid of all the hostages, they haven't any longer got a bargaining chip.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody's foolish to think even if a ceasefire deal was reached that this would be the end of the matter. At some point, the Israelis are going to go into Rafah. They're going to kill these people.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they kill these people, given what's happened?
Right.
And if it was any other country on earth, I think there'd be a lot more understanding. Well, perhaps not so much more understanding, perhaps less interest from people on the streets of the UK.
Yeah.
There's a genocide happening in Darfur right now. Nobody particularly cares about that. The Rohingya in Rakhine, the Uyghurs in Xinjiang.
Yeah.
Nobody really cares about that.
No.
It's only this particular country.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah, very odd. Yes. I don't know what it could possibly be that motivates it.
And I wonder what would happen if there was a ceasefire to the people who march around every Saturday in London and elsewhere in this country calling for a free Palestine. Because presumably, once the ceasefire has happened, they'll continue to call for a free Palestine and they'll continue having to cover up Holocaust memorials while they walk around at will.
Yeah, it's. I mean, honestly, it's just been a disgrace. It's the fact that people have been able to keep on doing this. And we hear, it's a minority, it's a minority. It doesn't matter that it's a minority. They're still there, and the people around them still tolerate them. You know, you never see them being surrounded by their fellow marchers saying, no, this is outrageous. No. There's only the one guy with the Hamas a terrorist sign who gets surrounded by all of these people. I mean, for heaven's sake, even Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority president, was in Riyadh, I think, the other day, and said, look, Israel has a right to its own security as much as we have a right to a state. Now, that's movement. That was unthinkable a few years ago. Right. You won't get that sentiment on the streets of
you
London,
won't get
though,
in
will
Hyde
you?
Park.
Absolutely
enough.
Not.
Should we finish up with Britney Spears?
Why not?
Britney Spears, it says in The Sun, a big spread, fears for stars since she won control back from her dad. And they're saying, was it wrong to free Britney?
I think possibly so.
There's some videos. This is the latest video that she continues to put out sort of every so often. It doesn't look like she's a woman in total control of her faculties.
No, and ultimately, you know, when we were all sort of finding out about the conservatorship at the time, people were saying, wow, that's quite draconian. But when you see these videos, you think, this is not a healthy person.
Right,
this
and there's also talk of her having spent all of her money and possibly being bankrupt.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's been spending it on. She's not wearing many clothes. You know.
The heating, because she's not
maybe
wearing
the heating, yeah. Yeah, you are.
But they don't feel it. Who knows? Who knows with these people?
I know, absolutely incredible. Benedict, brilliant.
The home of common sense. This is Talk.